Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and and we're going to get started in a second. What a night. What a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dragon Slayer Radio. Tonight is April 19th, 2012. So if today is your birthday out there, happy birthday. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight, along with my friend Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Doing very well. Thank you, Cherry. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Enjoyed last night's Survivor a lot. I think it's getting a little more exciting right now. And we also have on the line with us the host of our show, the Dragon Slayer himself, Mr. Coach Wade. How are you, Coach? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm actually on time tonight. I don't have youth orchestra or anything like that. So I'm happy to be with you guys, as always, every week.
Great to have you here.
Hey,
so,
Coach.
I am. Yes, Paul.
Oh, I just wondered if maybe do you miss this?
I had one of the best vacations of my life down in Disneyland. It was awesome, really good time. And so do I miss that? Not really, but I'm ready to go back. Definitely.
Glad you had a great time.
Coach, I was just waiting to play that because I knew, and you weren't able to make it that show after Disneyland. But I remember back when I went to the 1964 World's Fair, and Disney had a display or, a building there. And I still remember that darn song in my head. And it's good to hear that they're still playing it.
Hey, you're dating yourself, man. 1964 World Fair, I wasn't even born.
I know. I am old. Not as old as Dog, but I'm old. I'm 60.
There you go. I saw Captain Dog today, actually. He presented our symphony with a reward, with an award. There's this, you know, he can tell you about it better, but it's basically like Northern California. They promote, you know, music, culture, diversity, keeping the outdoors pure. Anyways, he'll tell you all about it. I know he's going to call on later tonight, but and so is Brenda. Brenda's going to come back. I asked her to actually rank everybody that's still left in Survivor, and, you know, whenever I give Brenda Porter a job to do, just kind of just fun, like, hey, Brenda, can you rank people? I asked her this 2 days ago, and I said, Brenda, can you rank just an order of, you know, the Survivor contestants left, the one that's most safe and the one that's most likely to go? And so she wrote me this list that was at least 8 paragraphs. There was a paragraph on every contestant, and it was really cool to see. So Brenda's going to call in later, and she's going to share that list with us. And then, of course, we have a special guest tonight. I have the coach of the coach that's going to be coming on the show. I told him to call in at about 7:15, so when that call comes from a 541 area code, then make sure that we get him through the switchboard and on so that we can talk to him about kind of our journey together on Survivor. And closer to the time, I'll kind of promo him a little bit. And then a guest for next week, I've already got lined up for next Thursday, Dragon Slayer Radio will host the infamous principal, the number 6. She made it to final 6 in token teams with me. The infamous Debbie Beebe will be coming back and being with us on the show. And so she was part of the alliance with me and Tyson. She was the blonde-haired lady that was from Auburn. Anyway, so she's going to be on the following week, and we're just going to keep lining them up every week to get some other people on here just for some colorful commentator stuff and everything. So anyway, that's what we got lined up for tonight and next week. Just thought I'd give everybody a heads up on that.
Hey, Coach, when would you like to talk with Dog? Because I do think, I haven't screened it, but I do see what I believe is his phone number. It's your order of things. Just let me know.
Yeah, sure. We're going to get to Dog. Let's get to Captain Dog. I know you're listening. You're the best, biggest fan friend out there. This guy is awesome. We sat there today. I never get embarrassed. We'll get Dog on probably about the same time as Brenda. So probably like in another 30 minutes or so. But, you know, Captain Dog is introducing me today to get this award. And he's just like, he's the only person that can embarrass me because he's sitting there rattling on about the orchestra and the college soccer program and all this other kind of stuff. And then he's like, you know, hey, if you want to check out Coach's book, No Turning Back, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, you know, that he pastors a church, and so it's just funny. He's like my biggest advocate. He's a great fan. He's going to be at both symphony concerts. I've got 2 symphony concerts this weekend. It's Musica de España, and so this is a really busy week for me because tomorrow night we do our Friday night performance. This is not with the youth orchestra. This is with my regular symphony, and then Sunday we'll do another one, another performance. So busy week this week. We're premiering one of my pieces. I wrote a Latin symphony, and we're playing another guitar and orchestra classical concerto, and a lot of good stuff for the symphony coming up. But this is not a show about the symphony. I would like to switch and talk about Joffrey Falzone is his name, and this guy, more than anybody, I have a lot of people trying to influence me with the game of Survivor, and I'll let him tell a little bit more about how we met and that progression. But, you know, when I got the call this last time to go to Survivor, I'm driving up to Ashland, Oregon, and this is where they have this pretty famous Shakespeare Festival that goes almost all year round, from February to November, and just absolute quality. Anyway, so I'm driving up to Ashland, Oregon with my then girlfriend, now wife, and As we're driving up to Ashland, Oregon, as fate would have it, the phone rings, and it's casting from Survivor. And they're like, every time they call, I always let it go to voicemail. And they call again, I let it go to voicemail. And I always get them a little bit hungry, you know, kind of like you come in the waters with, you know, with the sharks down in San Felipe. Anyway, so everybody usually is just like chomping at the bit and salivating and jumping on the phone call. Yes, hey, yes, yes, hey, yes, yeah, I want to go back. Yeah, please, what can I do? Where do I go? And I always just do the opposite, even though I want to answer the phone. Look, I'm not trying to sound too cool for school. I want to answer that phone. But when I see it's that number from Beverly Hills, I'm just like, no, I can't answer it. So I let it go to voicemail a couple of times. I checked the message, saw who it was from, you know, casting. They say, call us back. And they're not calling. They don't want me to call them back, so we can just say, hey, coach, just wanted to see how you're doing. You know, if you're down in L.A., let's go to dinner. It's not like that. It's always all business with casting. And they were like, coach, what do you say? You want to go back on the show? And I was like, I'm your man. Let me know when. I'll jump in with both feet. And they were like, you're leaving in 2 weeks. And so, you know, everything kind of snowballed from there. You know, it was very, very quick. I really wasn't prepared to go out, and I had to shuffle a lot of things in my everyday life. But, you know, they called, and I just said, well, I'm just curious, you know, how did this come about that my name came out? And the story was, that she told me was, is that everybody was looking around the room and they kind of had changed. They wanted to do something, but then they kind of changed the theme. And then they said, well, let's do something with two returners. Let's do the Redemption Island again. So everybody's like shouting names around the room. Everybody's like, you know, okay, how about this person and this person and this person? And then somebody says, coach. And then it was just like, yeah, coach. And then, Mark Burnett's like, Jeff, what do you think? And the room just gets silent. And Jeff sits back, smiles, closes his eyes, and says, I can never get enough coach. And that, gentlemen, is how I got casted. So then they called me right after that. Mark Burnett, you know, had left the room at one point, and then he was coming back, and they were like, we need an answer. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna do it. So, anyway, the reason why I'm going at this story is actually not about me, even though it seems like it, but I was driving up to Ashland, Oregon, and as I was driving up there, I get this call. Well, I'm going up there to hang out and watch some plays, but also to hang out with my good friend, Falzone. And, you know, to get the call on the way up there and to sit down face-to-face with this guy and really get a true understanding and a handle on myself, on my weaknesses in the game, on my strengths in the game, and pretty much how I should approach this last time around. I'm going to tell you right now, you saw me radically change from the first two survivors till this last survivor almost single-handedly because of my meeting in Ashland, Oregon with Jeff Falzone. He absolutely revolutionized my game, and also he kind of revolutionized a little bit my personal life, even though the two kind of don't mix. He really told me some things that we're going to get into tonight that had an incredible impact on me and the entire cast of Survivor 23. So that's my promo. It was fate that I got that call that day. Went up there, met with them. We talked, you know, all night. The next morning we met for coffee. And then he sent me email after email after email after email on how to play this game. And I've had a lot of people tell me, hey, this is how you should play the game. There's a guy in South Carolina that's the conductor of an orchestra. His name is Arthur Fields. He was also instrumental in kind of setting up lists of characters and lists of alliances that you can go and have. But as far as my personal play, greatly influenced by Jeff Falzone. So anyways, that's who the guest is tonight.
Coach, I bet you he is loving hearing all of your intro for him. Would you like to have him live now?
We can bring him up right now.
Hello?
Thank you so much.
Are you there, Falzone?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
All right, Coach. listen to your introduction to me. I've got to get that recorded somehow. I can play it for people.
No, it's true. Hey, go ahead.
Dragon Slayer Radio.
Oh yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We're excited to have you. This guy,
I got to tell you, and I'll ask some questions so that we're not stepping on each other. But this guy, he was actually one of the coveted six. You know, we get six tickets to go to each finale. And at first, they told me they were going to give me four, and they were kind of monkeying around with the tickets this time. But when we got down there, they ended up giving us six. And anyway, but he was one of the guys that came down and watched the live finale with me this last time in December. And he wore this getup that was just unbelievable. Falzone, do we have a picture of that anywhere? Did Amber or Jessica, or did anybody take a picture of your outfit?
Yeah, Jessica has a picture of it, and my buddies who were with me at the after show definitely have some pictures of that ridiculous outfit.
I need to have that as my new avatar on Facebook.
Can I ask if you do know Jeff? This is Paul from Minnesota. I'm one of the co-hosts. The female you heard is Cherry Garcia, the other co-host. But now I'm wanting to go back and replay the finale again because I've got it recorded. Did we see you when they did a scan of the audience anywhere?
My friend said that you know they knew me, and I told them I was going to be dressed strangely, and they said there's a moment when the camera pans. I'm at the very front row, and they really weren't focusing on us in the front. So it's a quick moment, but if you find it, you get a gold star. But the fun part for me, on that show was, of course, I've watched every Survivor that's existed, and then suddenly I'm in the studio watching the finals. A person who's become a dear friend is going to be up for the top three, and I'm sitting there in this ridiculous outfit, and all the other Survivors are pointing at me and whispering to Coach during commercials, asking who I am. And Coach was coming up with amazing stories to intrigue them.
At one point I leaned over and I told Albert, because he says, who is this guy? Like, he was flashing signs, he had a briefcase, he had on this, you know, this huge robe that he was wearing, sunglasses, he's got a full beard, and he, like, was into his briefcase, and every time Jeff was talking, Jeff froze. He'd pull out a little sign of just some, it was like a hieroglyphic, but it was, you know, he was more random than that, and he would splash at me, and I'd nod sagely at the wisdom that he was giving me, and Albert at one point was like, he leaned over, he was like, man, this guy in the front row, he's killing it, man, he's like, who is this guy? And I said, yeah, he's a multi-billionaire, and I said, so I forgot what other stuff I said, but everybody...
I think I owned an NBA basketball team as well at one point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I said that he owned a basketball team. Anyways, it was great. It was great fun to have. And I think that his outfit was so dramatic that they actually didn't go to him because they didn't want to take away and distract the audience from what was going on stage.
Which I respect. I didn't want to disrespect the show that I love, but I also wanted to push the limits, just like Coach does.
I love it. So let's go back, Falzone, to that. Tell the audience a little bit about just how we met and kind of what you told me about my past experiences that kind of really bonded us in that first meeting.
Yeah, now, I mean, the first meeting where we actually first were meeting or when we first had our discussion after you found out you were coming back?
Well, we're going to get to both. I did the promo on kind of both. How about let's go back to that very first meeting?
Yeah, I mean, this, for me, anyone listening can imagine. I've been watching Survivor for all these years. I've now seen Coach on an entire season where he set up his iconic figure. And then on the second time he was on, Heroes versus Villains, we were in the very middle of the season. And my buddies and I, we watched this every Thursday. And then I'm sitting at work. One of my jobs, I work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and I was working on the windows giving tickets to people. And I look up, and there's a Dragon Slayer looking down at me, waiting to get his tickets for the plays. And I couldn't believe it. I think I just said, Dragon Slayer. and then I talked to him. I told him I'm a big fan, and I couldn't leave it at that. He left, and he had about 20 minutes for the show, and I ran out, and I found him in his seat and pulled him outside. And that's when we first talked, and I just told him how much I enjoyed watching, but how much I also respected the way he was playing the game. And that's when we first knew each other. But then it was that next time when you were coming up, the day he was coming to Ashland, he finds out that he's been asked back. And that's when we had, 3 hours of conversation that night. And I don't know the moment for you, Coach, but for me, I remember you saying you were frustrated about the way you had played it before, and you were feeling like you were getting a little down. And I just remember saying, looking at you and saying, you could win that game. And you got that look in your eye, and you said, oh, yeah, how? And that started the discussion, I think, of on all the levels. I don't even know where to start. You started, Coach.
Well, actually, when we first started talking about it, and I remember, I told him, I said, hey, man, I got the call. I think I'm going to go on again. And the excitement in your eyes was so amazing. It was like contagious. And I said, how cool is this that I got the call before, I came up here. So, I think for me, the real bonding moment before the bonding moment of changing my game is that I just said, I'm so scared because what if I go get voted out first?
Right.
And you said, what are you talking about, man? You can't think like that. That's certain failure.
Yeah.
But you've done it. You're going to do it 3 times. Hardly anybody has done it 3 times, and it's such an adventure for you to go out there. Just go out there, take it a day at a time. And so, we started strategizing then and there, and the most critical thing that Jeff Falzone told me was this. In the past, your mistake has been that you wanted people to have a life-changing experience when they go out there, and because you've had life-changing experiences out in the wild in your life, you want people to follow you in that path. And I said, yeah, exactly. And so then Jeff said, well, what frustrates you out there with people? And I said, when they start talking about peanut butter and chocolate, when they start talking about shopping at Nordstrom in the middle of the, middle of the island, and they're talking about inane subjects like that, it really pisses me off because they should be out there forging their own character in the wilderness. And Jeff said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that because by doing that, you're going to alienate people. If they talk about food, you have to jump in there, and you have to talk about food, and you have to tell them what your favorite food is, and you have to meet them where they're at. Because if you meet them where they're at, then eventually they are going to come back and want to follow you down your path. But people go out on Survivor for a lot of reasons. Nobody really goes out there for that, or if they are, they're few and far between. So they're not going to follow you, and it's going to be a slap in the face to them if you ostracize them and say, you have to follow this path to forge your character. But if you meet them where they're at, they're going to have a more likely chance to go and follow you. And it totally, totally changed the way I played the game. And it changed the way I think that people related to me.
Yeah.
I love that, meet them where they're at. That just, I just wrote that down. That's such a key. Before you continue, I'm really enjoying this, but what, Jeff, what is your background? Just as you coach, do you have that profession, or are you just such a big fan of Survivor that you had those insights?
No, well, it's a little bit of everything. I'm actually also a therapist, and so I've studied psychology, and I've studied, communication since I was little. It was something that always fascinated me. And the time I turned 13. So I have that as my background. When I'm out at the Shakespeare Festival, I work as a therapist as well. So I'm always thinking in terms of our motivations and, how we relate to each other. And I'm sure everybody can agree with hearing me. I mean, Coach, when he's relaxed, like when we see him on the show and he's relaxed and he's just hanging out with a person, he's unbelievably charming and fun and authentic.
Absolutely, and I think that's some of the best advice you could have given him, because that last time he was on Survivor, everyone loved Coach, and he had such a drawing of people. Everyone was drawn to him, and I think he did really meshed with the people more, and he did meet them where they were at, and he did bond with everyone more. So I think your wisdom that you shared with him and your advice really worked. It worked well.
Well, I was thank you, Cherry Garcia. I was I put him. I was giving him strange advice, and on the one hand, I wanted Coach to be more and more of himself because I thought the more he's himself and he's not worried and scared and acting from a place of, like, I know Survivor makes people go crazy, the better, like the more he's just Coach. And I also wanted him to play a little bit more strategically and not get so hung up on the all the backstabbing stuff that happens. And that's
right.
A strange position to put a guy like Coach in. For some people, whatever, but for him... I think I was asking him to kind of form himself into a pretzel.
He was able to make decisions very well because when he had to, as we talked about last week, put people in positions, he was able to say, okay, you're going to take this position, you're going to take this position,
Yeah. This
is your position. He was able to take that leadership role and read people very well and understand
Yeah. What
positions they would fulfill very easily.
So I know.
I think he was able to really... relax and read these people. When he met them halfway, he was able to really read them very well and
Yep. Understand
what positions they would take and put them in those positions without really stressing over it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
he did it from the beginning, day one.
He did, and
Amazing.
He did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, also we would talk about critical points in the game. Like I remember asking Jeff, the emails that we sent back and forth were just huge, and I actually printed them out because, when you leave, you go down there. The day that you leave, you go down there, they take your passport, they take your money, your credit cards, your phone, and so you cease to have an identity when you get on that plane. And it's very scary, even doing it three times, that moment, because we're so saturated in technology these days and reaching out to people, that moment when they take away your phone, which is kind of your lifeline to civilization, it's a feeling of almost a little bit of panic. And so, I brought a bunch of books, and I also brought all these emails that I had printed out that Jeff had printed out for me. Not that Jeff had printed out for me, that Jeff had written to me and that I had printed out. And so I had pages and pages, 20 pages at least, of these situations and scenarios. And so, I'd be thinking about it, a week before I left, and I'd email and I said, okay, we need to talk about the critical points in the game, because I knew that going out there, it was going to be critical. And then right before the merge, it was going to be critical. Right after the merge, it was going to be critical. And somewhere around the final five, it was going to be critical. So we just kind of did some gameplay, role play, situational play. If this happens, how can you put yourself in a good position? And so, just on that opening day when I was out there on the beach, and Albert talked about it last week, just saying, hey, you know what? Sophie. I speak the only Russian that I know to her because she said she was Russian, or that she was a Russian major. Albert's a coach. I'm looking at him like a coach. So everybody out there I've tried to relate to somehow and, to meet them where they're at. So it was pivotal, all the information that Jeff had given me, for sure. So, Jeff, what was it like then when you were watching me during the season? Of course, we talk every week, and actually I went up to Oregon so that we could watch an episode together with Jessica. But how was it like watching it during the season?
Utterly surreal. It made no sense. A show that I've been watching for 10 years, and then suddenly a guy I know, and I've had all these emails, so much communication in a short period of time, and then there you are on screen, and... I just couldn't believe it. It was the strangest thing. And then when you came up to Ashland with Jessica, that was the best. Because, just imagine, we sit down in front, we had to watch it on the computer. I could pause it anytime I wanted and ask you what the hell was going on out there and what's it actually like. And you were very generous. I think that Survivor took us maybe 2 or 2.5 hours to watch the entire episode.
It was a long time.
No, go ahead. No, just that there's so, those of us who watch it and have never been out there, which is like 99.99%, there's so many questions about what's actually going on when you guys are being told how a game is supposed to be played and how long does that moment actually take. And I was just fascinated to find out that some of these things that happen in 30 seconds on screen every time can be up to 40 or 45 minutes to an hour of actual explanations. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was fun. I really liked, you know, doing that. I liked doing it with you, especially because you were so instrumental in the game. One of the things that Sal Zone told me before I went down there is he said, you got to drop the honor and integrity stick. And I said, but I can't. And he was like, well, you're going to have to try. And it was,
yeah.
It was the one thing that came and bit me in the butt at the very end, just because I had said it so much, I sounded like a parakeet just regurgitating something. And it did devalue, I think. I played with honor integrity completely, but the fact that I kept saying it was like, you know, Linus and his safety blanket on Peanuts. You know, that was how I was. I was like, that was my safety blanket anytime I felt somebody would question me. So it must have also been very frustrating, because I came back. I want to tell the audience this. I came back and I said, I'm back in Civilization. And he was like, oh my goodness. And so like we talked and we were texting, and I just told him, you're going to be very disappointed in me. And so I made him think that I got voted off first. And so this whole time, he never knew where I ended up at. So anyway, but it must have been frustrating, Pal Zone, to watch me slip into that role of honor and integrity, especially near the end.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was the only frustrating thing is that, first of all, I was very happy when I saw you didn't get voted out first, because you definitely... You had me convinced it was going to be the saddest television viewing of my life that day.
What a setup.
Oh, he tricked me big time. And then week after week, I was blown away by how well you're doing. And yes, once the honor integrity thing started, of course I just had that reaction of like, you know, I think I told Coach once, you don't have to say it because you have integrity. So if you just play the game and help people out with their chopping coconuts open and finding stuff, they're going to feel that from you. So, yeah, it was hard, Coach, but, I mean, it's also a deep part of who you are, and I respect that that's the hardest thing for you to do. It's a good blind spot to have.
Yeah, it was, you know, it just, I wish I would have been able to phone a friend while I was out there during some of those moments and just say, all right, get me on the straight and narrow. It had really sunk home when Joffrey told me about, you know, hey, you should meet people where they're at. But for some reason, the honor and integrity, it was like that little thing that you always keep for yourself when you should share it with others. And it's kind of like, I just held on to that. So anyway, it is what it is, but your help was instrumental. So, you know.
Yeah, well, big time. It was a big time honor for me, and it's great. Also, just being able to be in a context like this and meet you guys on the phone and be able to relive it, that's a lot of fun. And thanks a lot.
And it would be really cool, because obviously there's all kinds of guests that go on shows, and obviously for a Survivor shows, there's a lot of Survivors that come along, but kind of give us just a little quick rundown. And then we'll talk about maybe last night's episode, if you've seen it, and if not, then maybe just general, you know, of what you see this season so far. But because I definitely want to hear your thoughts. Tell me what it was like as a friend and as a fan of the show to go down to L.A. and to be involved in that, you know, and to be involved in that finale.
Yeah.
Not just the finale show, but just the whole leading up to it, you know, just that whole weekend.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, before going to middle school, you're a kid and you hear about middle school, you make all these pictures of it in your mind, it sounds terrifying and intense and great, and then suddenly on the first day, you're there. And that's how I was. I mean, going down to L.A., it was so surreal. When I walked into the lobby of the hotel, and, I mean, how many? There's probably... you know, 30 or 40 former Survivors milling around. There, people are coming up to them, getting their autographs. You were getting flooded with people, which was fun. I got photographs of that. And just seeing all these faces I've been seeing over the last 10 years, and then knowing it was moving towards the actual show. And I remember sitting, you know, we all get together. They bus everybody to the studio, and then I'm sitting with Joshica, your wife, and some of your family, and we watch the 2 hours. Isn't it 2 hours? Yeah, the 2 hour show of that final thing, and everybody's reacting. It's like being at a football game in the studio because everybody's reacting to each sentence you guys say. Applauding, sneering. It's very fun and it's good. It's good humored, but it was wild. And then suddenly, the next thing I know, Jeff Probst comes out, you guys come out, and that last hour felt like it went by in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it felt like for you, but for me, that last hour was the most. It was done. It was great.
Hey, Jeff, how long were you guys, the audience members, out there before the show started and the castaway started filtering in? That's always interesting to me, how long you guys had to wait.
You mean once we're at the studio?
Right.
Once
you're sitting in your...
Yeah. I mean, they had it timed. They had it. We got there, and Coach and everybody's locked away in the back. And, I mean, it took them about 40 minutes to get the till the show started that everybody was watching on the East Coast.
Okay.
And then but they have it dialed down. Like, you watch the 2 hours, it's done, and then they are ready, and they have the live show up and going at that point. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And then, yeah, that's what I mean. It was seamless.
With the live band, you know, on stage playing the Survivor stuff. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe... Coach, you're in charge of the time frame here, bud.
Uh-oh. Coach.
No, you're going to ask a question, right? I mean, that's fine. We're good. No, we're still good to go.
Okay. No, so you're all the audience members are looking at some big screen TVs watching the East Coast 2 hour stream, and then it ends, and then all of a sudden the on stage band kicks in and everything is synced out. What an experience. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it was amazing and it was great. And like I said, I did like the atmosphere because everybody was having a good time. And then when Coach came out, of course, everybody was up on their feet, and I did have fun playing with my strange little briefcase and putting up these odd symbols, and I had to get some of my personality in there, and I know that Coach knows how to play off of that really well.
It was outstanding, man. You know, the feeling of the sublime feeling that I had knowing that you and Jessica and the other friends, but really focusing on you guys. Of course, my brother was there. Just a great support system. But just knowing, you know, it was really good. You know, it was really good. We had actually talked beforehand because, you know, he's the coach till the end. So I had asked him. I said, I think Jeff might ask me questions like this. How should I respond? And so we kind of like went through those. And I had actually. Yeah,
did you know where he was sitting in the audience? How long did it take before you saw him?
Oh, before I saw Falzone?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I saw them immediately. I sat down, gave a little bow to the audience, Dragon Player style, and then I looked right at them and saw where they were, and I was just like, sweet. So, no, that was cool, you know. But we had actually, you know, talked about some of the possible questions I might field, and we had talked, and I came up with the word Prayerpalooza because I thought Jeff might ask me about the religious overtones about it. And when I said Prayerpalooza, Jeff Falzone was just like, oh, yes, that's great. So I knew I'd struck on a winner there. So I made sure I kept that name rolling around in my head. So anyways, enough about that. Tell us a little bit, Falzone, about this season, kind of your general thoughts about what's going on and what might happen next.
Okay, I know I have to go. I want to say two things really quick. One is, for me, the best moment was I'm sitting there at the live show. Coach is out there on stage, and he had told me in Ashland the second morning when we were talking, and I gave him some advice he liked. He leaned forward and said, you're going to be at the live show. And, he is a man of his word. That's all I can say is to hear somebody say that to you, and then 6 months later you're there. Now, in terms of this season, I can say that I think Cherry Garcia, you said that, you really started feeling like it got exciting last show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. I had been sort of, I mean, it's always interesting to me. I love the show, but I had been having trouble getting into it. And then last night, I got that Survivor feeling back.
I know. It really started getting good. Last show, it started kind of coming back to me, and last night it was like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
And I
wanna, I know you have other people. You have other people you need to talk to. I say my one observation is, I do like the way. I don't know. I don't really have anyone I'm loving, so I'm more into how they're playing. And I do like the way that Kim is playing, because she seems to be doing a lot of mental work and not creating too many waves.
Yeah, right.
She's doing a lot of leadership. She's actually like playing the chess game. You know, she's making the moves, and I like that.
Let me ask you: did you notice as well that it was Chelsea that started talking, you know, a lot, and Kim just sat there basically keeping her mouth shut? Do you think that was wise?
Oh, you're talking about in the final tribal?
Even in many moments on last night's show, I mean, it was, she was very restrained. You could tell she wanted to say something, she...
I think it was great. I think there's some clips of her in the tribal council where she just gets that smile on her face and doesn't say anything that I think are perfect examples of what you have to be able to do. Unless you're the Dragon Slayer and you're able to hypnotize everybody at once to get what you want, you have to show restraint. But not everyone has the Dragon Slayer's hypnotic faculties.
Hey, Charleston, I know you got to go, but I just want to say thanks for the coach for joining us on Dragon Slayer Radio.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Oh, big time. You guys, thank you so much, Coach. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you so much. We've enjoyed this so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How cool was that?
That was great. Yeah, I had one question I really wanted to ask him, but maybe next time.
What was that? What did you want to ask him?
Well, he said that he's watched every Survivor show, and I just wanted to find out maybe if he had watched any of the eco challenges that came on before Survivor started.
Oh, right. Huh. Interesting question.
Yeah, those were the shows that Mark Burnett were doing before Survivor actually came on network TV. So I was wondering if he'd watched those as well.
What's up next, Coach?
So, let me just give you my thoughts before we get into the callers and everything. Let me just give you my two cents on the show and what I think is going to happen in the future. You know, I think that I really, like, I know that it's, you know, Jeff and Terry and that everybody said, you know, hey, last night, and that they feel like it's kind of getting exciting again. I got to tell you, I've just really been disappointed because I know that watching a season of predictability, I know that was the one drawback of my last season down the stretch, is that it did become kind of predictable. You know, from a player's perspective, you want things to be managed and controlled, and from a viewer's perspective, you want things to be chaos and out of control. And I just, it frustrates me every week to watch these guys. It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, just continuing to be kind of clueless, you know, like Troyzan right now. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I really like Troyzan right now. I can't stand the guy because, you know, he's so focused. He's so eye of the tiger on the immunity challenge. And he's really smart as far as, hey, guys, let's get together. He picked out the right players with Christine and Alicia. So he's doing the right things there, but he's not playing for the end game. He's starting to play a little bit like Colton in terms of, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in their face and to win this round. But it's not about winning this round. It's about getting everybody's accolades once you get done. So he's starting to wear on my nerves. The guys are just completely... they're completely retarded, and I don't say retarded as in a person. I say retarded as in retardando in a music score where you just go slower and slower and slower. They seem to have no sense. Like, I had to go back and rewind to see who voted for who. As soon as the votes went out, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? Everybody voted the same way except for two people, even though it looked like, oh, wait a second, man, there was a lot of stuff going on there. It wasn't like that. You go back and you count the votes. This is what happened. Kim and Chelsea said, well, if Troy Zan did find the hidden immunity idol, he's going to give it to Leaf because he knows we're going to vote out Leaf, so we've got to split the vote. So they ended up splitting the votes, but the only way that they could really split the votes effectively is if they had everybody's vote except for two, and Tarzan voted for Leaf. It was crazy.
Tarzan
if Tarzan would not have voted for Leaf and would have voted for Kim, then it would have been a 3-3-3 tie regardless of what the girls had done. And it's just so asinine that they continue to just say, oh, you know what, it's not me, and hope to survive another round, but they're all voting the same way. And actually, Tarzan is either really, really stupid or really, really smart, because every vote, he has gone with majority. And so that might be great until now, but if Tarzan wins immunity next week, I think Tarzan's going home. I think the women are smart to not start cannibalizing their own. I don't think that Christina is playing the most subtle, finesse-minded game in the history of Survivor, or she's being led down the primrose path like an ox led to the slaughterhouse, because the fact that her and Alicia did not make a move, see, that's what I was hoping for last night. I was hoping through all of the bravado and showing Troy Zan and me against the world stuff that just really has gotten old. You know, I really wanted to see them take a big move. And as much as I want to see a final three girls up there, now that it's becoming predictable, I want to see some people get shocked, and I want to see some people get knocked off. And much like at this point of the game with me, people were like, oh, Coach has the power, so, you know, we kind of hope that maybe he gets blindsided just to make things interesting. That's kind of what you're seeing here. So at this point, I'm very frustrated with the season. I kind of wish Colton were back in the mix, because at least he'd be stirring up stuff and having people go crazy and having everybody complain on Thursday morning. As far as the rest of the show, you know, really, to tell you the truth, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Let's assume that Troy Zan loses an immunity and Tarzan goes and Troy Zan goes or Troy Zan is there. It's going to be interesting to see if he continues to win immunity. When the girls finally cannibalize on each other, if they vote off Christina and Alicia, then those two players have got to be two of the weakest players to ever play this game, because it's almost like you see the handwriting on the wall. Assuming that that happens and you get left with, who would you be left with? You'd be left with Chelsea, you'd be left with Kim, you'd be left with who?
Chat.
Sabrina.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. The promo for next week, I have a feeling that, you know, somebody says something, maybe even Chelsea, because she's really honest. And, you know, maybe she'll say, well, Kat, you know, you're going to be the first to go when it comes down to our line, or something like that. If that happens, then we have some hope of things being shaken up. But at the point of the season right now, I think it's just been kind of frustrating to see it go along the course that it's gone along. So those are my thoughts.
Okay, I quickly want to ask you something. I'm sorry, Cherry.
Go ahead.
I really am. You brought up how you watch the show and how the fans, you know, like craziness, and you like to watch the strategy. How do you switch between that mentality while you're watching the show as a former castaway?
It's one thing out there playing it. You want two different things. It's very easy to armchair quarterback and to just look at these people and say, my goodness, what a bunch of amateurs. But of course, you're all amateurs when, you know, the first time you play the show. It's very seldom that you have, you know, and I'll say, you know, like Kim, she's playing like an all-star. You'll see her again for sure. No matter where she gets voted out or if she gets to the end or wins or whatever, you'll see her again because she's a hardcore player. She's a really good player. In fact, when we look at, you know, you look at a lot of male candidates and you look at them, you know, when you say, all right, so we're going to have an all-star. Pick your top 20 characters. You're going to say, okay, you know, Coach and Boston Rob and Russell and Rupert and da-da-da. Then it gets, and you get to the women's side and you're like, okay, well, you've got Parvati, and you've got Sandra, and you've got Amanda, and you've got, who else do you have? And, you know, it kind of, like, dwindles down a little bit. I, you know, when you look at players, and everybody says, you know, there's a big debate. Is Sandra the best player of all time because she won it twice? Is Parvi one of the best players because she's got so much charm and she's good in immunity challenges and she's played the most days out of anybody? You know, you start debating who the best survivor is. But I got to tell you, like, for female players, Kim is up there near the top. I don't like Sandra's strategy of the Not Me Alliance, which is kind of what she was like. She just didn't want it to be her. But, you know, I really think Kim is a very good strategic player. She's working it. She's good in challenges. She's been the unofficial leader in terms of where the votes are going to go. So it's just interesting. I think you'll definitely see her again. As far as a fan versus player, you know, I'm watching it now. So even though I know the ins and outs of everything, I'm pretty quick to judge people when they make bonehead moves, and we can all see it at home. You've got to remember that when you're out there, you're just, you know, you're just trying to fight one more day. And I can definitely see Kim going up to Tarzan and saying, Tarzan, vote Leaf. It's either going to be you or Leaf. And if you don't vote for Leaf, then all of us are going to vote you out. And so I can totally see them doing that, and Tarzan saying, I want to survive one more time. I thought the petty moment of the season was when Tarzan said that he wanted to save the $500 for shocks for his vehicle.
I
thought that was stupid. You come into it, you don't have any money, you know. And then he said that, so it's kind of like, oh, but then he turns around and then he gets the letter from home. And it's interesting because he didn't want to read it. And for everybody going out there, whatever they say their reasons for going out there, they wouldn't do half the stuff that they're doing if they weren't on television, okay? This is from somebody that tries to approach survival with the most true and pure form of gamesmanship and true and pure form of forging character out there. But even me, I go out there and I think I wouldn't do half of the stuff if it weren't being filmed, you know, for national television. So it's very interesting because we all do have that subtle motive in the back of our minds going out there. And Tarzan, obviously, you know, when he says the game is afoot, every single tribal council when he gets old, but he says a smile and he thinks to himself in the back of his head subconsciously, oh, you know, this might get a little bit of airtime. It's really amazing that he did not at any point want to share that letter. That was very interesting.
What did you think when he talked to Tarzan after the challenge and he said, you know, I like you, but please, if you win, be noble. It looks bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really like that. And, of course, you know, Tarzan is the guy that said before the show and also on TV Guide Special and on CBS.com, his favorite player is Coach because he likes the way that I approach the game with honor and integrity. So, you know, my hat's off to Tarzan for that. I've obviously kind of been pulling for him because he did say that.
When he said that, I thought of you. It sounded
like something
you would have said.
Yeah, and I like it that he said that, you know. And Tarzan, you know, if Tarzan, you know, maybe the reason why there might have been more to that argument than we saw, and the fact that Tarzan was not very gracious to Tarzan, if he just sort of said, you know what, you know, you're right, I apologize, it would have scored a lot of points for him, and then they could have maybe taken a walk. And then when Tarzan came back and said, hey, guys, for your sake, here's how we should vote tonight, he might have been able to slay them.
Yeah, I instead, Tarzan went into this whole thing about, you know, I'm a competitive person, it's just the way I am, you know, everyone's different, and that's my personality, and...
Right.
You know, if you had seven people voting against you, you know, and he went on this rant and just tried to make excuses for the way he was acting, and
yes.
I don't think it did himself any favors at all.
No, it didn't.
But I was really somewhat pleased to see Tarzan actually come up to him and say, you know, be noble, you know, don't act like that. And he was trying to do Tarzan a favor. And
right.
after Tarzan's rant, and, you know, he let Tarzan go on and say what he was going to say, then, you know, Tarzan said, well, you know, I just want to say I'm your friend, shake my hand, and I'm still going to try to beat you, okay? You know, so whatever you say, I'm going to shake your hand, I'll be your friend. That's what a true man would do. And we'll go up head to head, and I will try to beat you, but I'll be a gentleman about it.
Exactly. Absolutely. So we're running out of time. I got to go have dinner with my family. Do you want to take a couple of calls?
Would you like
calls,
Dog at first, or would you like Brenda?
Yeah, I want to talk to both of them. Let's talk to Brenda first, because I want to hear all of her order of everything.
Okay. We have Brenda Porter live on Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you, Brenda?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Good.
Hey, Coach. How are you?
Hi, Brenda. How are you doing? Thanks for coming on. I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
Hey, no problem. Things are kind of different since I sent you the email. I'm playing with an idea. Can I toss it out?
This is what I want you to do. I want you to go. I just want you to have the floor right now. Talk all you want to. Let's hear what you got.
Okay. The other night when I emailed Coach, I emailed the ranking based on Kim's power. And my ranking back then was that it would go in the order of Tarzan. I feel that Kim would want to get the guys out first before she would touch the girls. And the tribal council last night, basically Tarzan with him getting the, what was it, 3 votes. That's a pretty strong hint that, you know, he's next in the pecking order. I'm also a little worried about Christina. When I watched the episode, I saw a lot of indecisiveness. I saw a lot of indicators where, you know, if it were me and somebody was saying to me over and over and over and over, you know, you're next to go, or you're in the next possible 2 or 3 to go, I'm going to want to think of changing my position. Instead, she didn't do that. So that's got me worried a little bit. I mean, where exactly is her head? You know? I mean, why is she continually voting with Kim? So I'm thinking possibly if it were Kim to remain in power, it would be Tarzan, Christina, Alicia. I've changed it up. I think there'll be a blindside, maybe a Sabrina. Somewhere in there, Tarzan might be blindsided. I think he'll go on an immunity run. I think he might even win the next few immunities. I just have that feeling that he's going to be in there for just a little bit longer. Somewhere in this period of time, Tarzan will go, and then he'll get down to Chelsea, Kat, and Kim. That's if Kim stays in power. I've kind of wondered about this, and I'll toss it out there. What if, in the next coming episode, Kat lives? What do you think will happen if, let's say, Kat joins Tarzan, Alicia, and Tarzan?
What do I think will happen?
Yeah.
You tell me what you think is going to happen. I think if she flips, it will be the person that Kat flipped because of, right? If she thinks that Kim has got her out for it, if she thinks Chelsea has her on lowest on the totem pole, I think that's who she would target, because if she flips, she's going to be embittered at somebody.
I'm thinking Sabrina.
You think it's Sabrina?
Yeah, I think Sabrina. For some reason, I think if that were to happen, Kim will have the idol. And I think it might be Sabrina. I just have a feeling there's going to be a big blindside, and I think Sabrina will be the one blindsided.
Good. Shake up something. I want something to be shaken up, that's for sure.
See, that's the crazy thing with last night's episode. You know, you kind of think you have the pecking order, and then all of a sudden, you know, they toss little breadcrumbs that make you wonder. They kind of make you wonder, will this work out for Tarzan? Will he be able to flip Kat? If he's
right.
able to flip Kat, that's going to toss things totally, totally in a different direction.
I think she'd be smart if Sabrina was the one that got blindsided, because Sabrina was the one that was somewhat leading the women's tribe when they were the women's tribe at the very beginning. She had somewhat of the leadership role, and So if people remember that and give her kudos at the end, she could win some votes for her at the end.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I think that's a really good point. How about this?
So Sabrina has had several episodes, I don't know how many days it translates into, where she hasn't been in that leadership role. Do you think that she has been yearning to get back in that spot and that she could possibly flip to maybe strengthen her position?
I don't think she would want... I don't know. I don't think so just because she's really been ingrained in that tribe. She thinks she's in the spot that
I thought I was in.
Okay. That is, I was the cog in the wheel. I mean, everybody was kind of revolving around me, so I never really, you know, thought about flipping. She thinks she's good with Kat. She thinks she's good with Kim. She thinks she's good with Chelsea. She thinks, you know, she's good with everybody. I think that's what I think. So listen, I've got to run, guys, and so, Brenda, I want you to keep talking. As always, Brenda Porter, brilliant observation of the game with Survivor. Get Captain Dog on the line, but I got to run off and get my family dinner. So I wish everybody a good night, and thanks for being on Dragon Slayer Radio.
Thank you, Coach, so much. You have a great night. I think that Sabrina wouldn't flip because she wouldn't want to be seen as that traitor. I don't think she would want to be seen in that light. So I don't think she would flip.
I didn't think that until I saw her sitting there in the previews of next week, and she was part of the conversation where Troy Zahn was trying to get some on his side, and she was sitting in that group. So that's the only little reason I did that. But otherwise, I agree. I don't think she would.
Right. Well, let's go ahead and bring Dog up and see what he has to say. I know he presented Coach with an award, and I'd certainly like to hear that story. So let's bring Dog up.
Hello.
Dog, thank you so much for joining us on Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you? I'm so sorry you had to wait for so long.
Hey, that's fine. I was talking with Coach just a few hours ago, and I'll see him again tomorrow. You want to hear my thoughts about the show or last night's episode, or a little bit about the award first? Let's get the award
like
out of the way.
About. Okay, let's do.
Okay. What it was... where he was struggling over the name. It's an outfit called the North Calneva RC&D, which is Resource Conservation and Development. And it's kind of used to be under the auspices of the NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, which prior to that was Soil Conservation Service. But we're a 501c3 operation, and our mission statement, you might say, is to conserve and develop our natural resources to fortify economic diversity through community participation. That includes environment, that includes things such as the Susanville Symphony Orchestra. And a few months ago, I happen to be on the executive board, and a few months ago we were planning this meeting for today, and we hadn't given out an award for a while, and somebody, so I suggested the Susanville Symphony. And, of course, we're primarily an agricultural-oriented area. And they look at me and says, an orchestra? I said, well, look at our mission statement and what the orchestra has done in the northeastern California area and northwestern Nevada. It's amazing, and our germane is 9,500,000 acres in parts of northeastern California and northwestern Nevada. So we cover quite an area. And then I explained what our mission statement was to our directors, and they could see, because, you know, look at what Ben has been responsible, what Coach has been responsible for the last 9-10 years in the Susanville area. He's developed a symphony orchestra. It's the smallest community in the United States with a full-blown symphony orchestra. They have a youth orchestra, which opened the program for you guys last week. They have so many things that they have done. They've music programs were deleted in the schools in Lassen County. They got them back, and it's just
that's
a neat
huge
deal. And he has done so much. And when I went to this meeting, in fact, our meeting today was in a BLM regional office in Susanville, and it takes about 2 hours to get down there from where I am. I got back about an hour before your program started tonight. But I walked in and had to sign in on a guest list and wear a badge, and I told him, I said, there's going to be a couple people. One of them would be Coach. Do you know him? And he says, oh, yeah, we'd recognize him. And the girls were so excited at the desk in there. It was amazing. But getting back to where he says he doesn't get embarrassed, but I embarrassed him. I started expounding, and he told you the story of everything that I talked about in there. And I followed him when he was leaving, because we had to go on with our meeting then. We had election of officers, and again, I'm an officer. But I followed him out into the lobby, and he says, dog, you embarrass me. I don't know anybody that can embarrass me. And I looked at him. I said, you know, you have been on television half naked before literally millions of people, and I've never seen you embarrassed. And the man was blushing. And he was blushing. And I just tooted his horn in there, and which I do every place I go. And I'd taken some old music programs from past symphonies, and I pass them out to everybody that was in our meeting there so they could see him. His trip up to Ashland to the Shakespearean Festival when he met Jeff up there, I remember when that was happening because he was leading, they're going to go into last June's concert. He was notified, contacted 10 days by casting to go to Survivor. At that time, he had to arrange for a guest conductor to come over and take over the orchestra. He arranged for this guy from southeastern part of the country where he had conducted his orchestra at one time. The guy's name was Arthur Fielder, and he came up, and he, as far as I was concerned, he can't hold a candle to Coach as far as conducting the orchestra. But he was under the gun because he had to familiarize himself with all the music and the orchestra and the rehearsals in 10 days, plus changing his itinerary from what he was doing back in other parts of the country. But Coach had 10 days in which to put everything together and get out of the country. I had a couple other notes here.
What did you think about tonight's show?
Well, I thought it was the best episode of the season, by far.
I thought it was pretty good, too. I think they're finally starting to get all of us excited about Survivor.
At that boat, I was so disappointed.
Dog.
In part. Hi, Brenda.
I have a question.
Sure.
What do you think about the possibility that Kat would flip? I'm just tossing it out there for everybody. How do you think it would change the dynamics of the game?
Well, I was just going to get into this. I was disappointed in Tarzan's vote last night, voting for Leaf. If he had voted for Kim, as Coach indicated, they would have had a 3-3-3, and they would have had a tiebreaker of some. No telling who would have won. But what we're coming up right now as far as realignment or flipping, pretty soon, I've been wondering when the piranha are going to start feasting on each other. And I think the big conflict in the women's group is going to be between who is the queen. Is it going to be Kim or is it going to be Sabrina? It's not Chelsea, and it's not Kat. But the only flippers...
Kat returned with her idiotic BLT comments. She was a little...
Oh, it has bacon in it.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that.
Yeah. But Christina and Alicia, they should have gone last night because they would have, and then with Tarzan, if maybe Tarzan would have voted differently last night if he'd felt assured that Christina and Alicia would go. But if Tarzan had voted for Kim, it would have been a 3-3-3. But dropping out of last night and getting into anticipation of this next week, there's 8 people left right now. The girls, their order essentially would be Kim, Chelsea, Sabrina, and Kat. That's 4. 5 and 6 are Christina and Alicia. If Tarzan will line up again with Troy and Christina and Alicia come up there in that alliance, then it's 4-4 with the potential of immunity challenges being won by Troy. And then if they could vote as a block of 4 against another block of 4, Christina and Alicia can do no worse than maybe 4th. But if they stay with the ladies, they're going to do either 5th or 6th. So I think Kat is stuck with Kim. Chelsea is stuck with Kim. Sabrina and Kim are going to have a battle royal. Christina and Alicia are going to jump, but it's all up to Tarzan again. He has to vote for the men. He can't go off and pound his chest and vote against.
Yeah, Tarzan is the one person that I have the least clue of, you know, in the editing and everything. I have no idea where he's at. He just baffles me.
He was the one that was, you know, always saying we've got to, you know, keep the men together.
Know,
but then in his voting, he's been the one voting the men out. I just don't understand.
Well,
personally, I don't think he's going to be in the game much longer.
Yeah.
I don't see him in the game much longer.
Yeah. Well, Brenda, to answer your question about Kat flipping, I don't think she's the flipper. I think it has to be Christina and Alicia. And
or
I guess
Alicia. I think Alicia will flip. I think she would flip in a heartbeat.
And I think Christina is smart enough to flip. And the other one that has to flip is actually Tarzan. Tarzan has to flip from his mindset right now. But I said it last week or maybe the week before, maybe both weeks. Tarzan was at the final interviews, final casting interviews. And I have an acquaintance who was also there. And he says, don't sell Tarzan short. So,
all right.
And so that's the only thing I can say. I think he's playing everybody. But
how do you think he's going to turn things around then for himself? Because right now he's directly on the chopping block.
Yeah, and he has to turn himself around. If Troy gets immunity again, and who's to tell they're not going to maybe bury another immunity idol out there? And, of course, Troy has them thinking that he might have it right now. Because he walked around.
Yeah, that is a very, very key part of it. But another key part is if they can get a 4-4 split in voting blocks and they try to go after Kim, she pulls her idol out, and it backfires in their face.
Yeah, that is the risk.
I think she has a very good handle on when she needs to play that idol.
But it has
to be very smart.
Secretive from Kim as far as anybody flipping. They have to give her all the lip service that they're going to go with her.
And as far as we know, it's just Chelsea now Chelsea left now. Chelsea from Big Brother kicked me for calling her Chelsea. Chelsea is the only one left, as far as we know, that knows that she has it, or am I forgetting?
That's what I believe. There's never been any indication from the episodes that Sabrina or Kat knows, or that any of the guys know, or that, you know, or Christina or Alicia. But
yeah.
My two dark horses in the race right now, believe it or not, are Christina and Tarzan.
That they're the ones that just seem so likely that they're Ned. I mean,
yes.
The indecisiveness of Christina, she's so indecisive. She's
what?
Having
what?
Every clue given to her that she's got them wrong, and she's just not pulling away.
But I'm going back to something about editing. Neither Tarzan nor Christina they've had some bad comments about them, but they have not had any really editing done about them. And they've had all these bad comments like, they got to go next, they got to go next, this week or next week. And they're still there. So, and they really haven't had they haven't had the interviews that the others have had. Why is that?
See, that's what's making me wonder, what are they not showing us about Christina?
Exactly.
I mean, why is she trusting
Or Tarzan,
him
for that matter.
Bodily? Yeah,
there's no
why?
Personal on the beach behind the tree interviews with him.
That's true.
Exactly.
No confessionals.
No confessionals, and they're still there. So that's why I put them up as my dark horses. But, you know, these are the random thoughts of a random thinker, and that's really true.
I like
so
that.
It's possible they could be final two even.
Oh.
Who knows? But I think this whole next week, or next 72 hours, you know, and they were all back in the United States by last July 10th. But it depends upon what Tarzan's going to do. Does he stay as the make-believe woman in that alliance, or does he come back over and bring a couple girls over with him to make it a 4-4 split at next week?
Well, see, the one thing that they could do is if the girls kept Tarzan and they got rid of one of the girls, and then once they got down to final three and they had Tarzan with them, if they then let it be known to the jury that Tarzan did in fact vote out Jay, he voted out Leaf, he voted out all these guys that he was supposed to be in cahoots with, and those were supposed to be his, team members that he was supposed to be, bonding with, and those, were who he was supposed to be saving, then those votes probably wouldn't go his way because they'd be pissed once they found out that he, in fact, voted against them and put them where they're sitting. So they could be using him as a pawn to take along to the final three to unload that information to the jury, and then it would be almost like a final two, because most of the people sitting on the jury are going to be guys. And if all the guys are pissed at Tarzan because of the way he voted, once they find that out, then the guys are basically going to have to decide whether they want to vote for the final two girls that are sitting there.
True, but are they going to vote against one of their own? Because the men are going to have the majority, regardless of how it goes. Men are going to have the majority on the jury.
Right.
And when Michael...
But if they find out one of their own men voted them all out and put them where they're sitting...
But when Michael looks at the subterfuge that Kim has played, and granted, I mean, she has played a masterful game, and she's done... Kim has played this game... Generally, like what Jeff from Oregon suggested to Coach before South Pacific. Meet them where they're at. And Kim has met all the ladies where they're at. But now comes the feeding frenzy. But I think the guys, if Jay finally realizes how he was set up, if Michael realizes how he was set up by Kim telling Troy about things, I think it's going to be a hard, hard thing to overcome for Kim if there is a guy on the jury. I mean, the guy on the final three. That's my thought.
I think it could be.
But, you know, again, random thoughts of a random thinker.
So, Brenda,
mm-hmm.
Let's hear your list of, do you have them rated from who you think is the strongest to who you think is the weakest, or how? What is your list?
Well, I thought it was from just like from strategical type list, and I rated it based on who I thought weren't as strategic as opposed to who I thought were. And the person I think who is the most strategic is Kim. The person I think who is the least strategic is Tarzan. So my list was Tarzan, Christina, Alicia, Tarzan, Christina, Alicia, Kat, because I didn't think Kat was all that strategic. I think Troyzan strategic, then I think the top three. So it kind of went down from there. It started from Tarzan and then went to Kim. That's what I thought he wanted. But when asking me directly after last episode who I think might be the next one, it's just so cloudy for me right now because I'm playing with the idea that Tarzan might be able to take on Kim now. And if that's the case, I'm not really sure who might be the next one to go other than maybe Christina, but I don't know. See, I don't know, because Christina's not really committed to anyone. And I don't know if she would commit to Tarzan. See, that's the thing. She was given the shot, and she didn't do it. I think Alicia will. I think if that were to happen, I think Alicia would. I think Kat would, simply because she realized that she's on the bottom of the pecking order, and this is the chance for her to possibly go up. And if he could get Tarzan and Tarzan and, I don't know, maybe Christina might go with him. I'm not sure. See, everything is so cloudy for me right now. I can't really plot it anymore like I was before when I was thinking, well, maybe it would be Tarzan next and then maybe Christina after that.
Yep, it's finally starting to get interesting, and Survivor's getting a little more exciting now. So it's fun to watch the show and see what's going to happen next. I think Troyzan's going to stir the pot and get things exciting. And I think I can't help but think that Alicia may be involved in whatever happens next week too. It could be Sabrina, it could be Alicia, it could be Kat. I don't know what's going to happen to cause the girl's ascension, but Alicia always has a mouth on her, and I know that she's one that might flip, so she could very well be one that causes the dissension.
Sherry, you pointed that out about Alicia way back, that she was.
Go ahead.
No, I just when they split the tribes, she just seemed like one that could, you know, flip at any moment, and that Jerry pointed that out about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Well, Alicia doesn't have any loyalty to anyone, and she's in there really to play the game. She wants to win, and she doesn't have any solid loyalty to anyone. She's kind of, ever since Colton left her sitting there and didn't give her that idol after she had already sort of teamed up with him, she sort of seems like a little bit of a fish out of water, and she was really glad that she was able to, you know, wiggle her way back into the Women's Alliance that she was in, you know, previously at the beginning of the season. But she doesn't have any strong loyalty to them. So I think if, you know, if she had an opportunity, if she saw an opportunity that was going to take her further in the game, she would jump on it and not look back.
If I can I add something right now?
Sure.
Sure.
I said before, I think Kim and Sabrina are going to have a little bit of a showdown. And what it comes down to it at the end, as far as voting at a tribal, I don't have any idea. Kat, I think, is stuck with following the leader. The ones that will flip will be Alicia and Christina. The weakest person of the women who is going to be used as a pawn by Kim is Chelsea.
Right.
I think she is the absolute weakest person there as far as thinking. Kat's the follower. Chelsea thinks she's in control, but I think she's being used. Period.
Well, that's interesting.
What makes me think that? She hasn't really come up with anything good, but like in last night's episode, she was haranguing on Troyzan, and Kim was just taking it all in, being quiet. Kim is playing the women. The one woman she's not playing is Sabrina, and that's why I think they're going to have a showdown. Kat is along for the ride, and entertaining as all heck. Boy, is appendicitis catching. There's bacon on that BLT. and she's starting to open her eyes and be involved more. I think she's probably a little bit apprehensive at the start because of her childhood heart surgery. You know, can she do it? Well, she can do it. She's doing a good job as far as that goes. But she's not a decision maker. Alicia is a decision maker. And I think Christina is a decision maker. Kim is a decision maker. Sabrina is a decision maker. Of those decision makers, Alicia and Christina are in the bottom, and I think they have to realize that fifth and sixth is not as good as third and fourth if they can swap alliances right now and make it strong and start attacking Kim's group.
Well, that goes back to why didn't they do that last tribal? I mean, once again, Christina's got all these indicators put right in her face starting from the get-go. Troyzan right at camp, right in her face.
Yeah.
You know, right in her face in front of everybody. And then, you know, the thing about them wanting her to fit on the reward challenge thing, and she was so apprehensive about doing it, she didn't want to. It's almost like she wanted Troyzan to get back.
Well,
she didn't seem like she was involved with it. And then
Christina and Alicia did not vote against Kim. They voted for Tarzan. Is that correct?
They voted for Tarzan, but in essence, they voted with Kim.
Yeah, but so they did not vote against Kim.
And no.
If they had gone the way Troy had wanted them to, they would have voted against Kim.
Right.
So they were still hedging their bets. But there's no time to hedge a bet anymore.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying about Christina. I mean,
yeah.
I believe Christina is a highly intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
I believe with all the indicators that was given to her last episode, you've got Chelsea talking about her in an interview. You've got Troyzan in her face at the beginning of the episode and then at Tribal. You've got Troyzan taking her side. You've got the auction. All these indicators towards one person in one episode is saying something. It's an indication. Either she's going to go or she's going to change things up.
Mm-hmm.
It's either or. The thing is, why didn't she go ahead and do it? That's my big question. It just seems like it's so confusing. And
we see it in 42 minutes worth of eyes each week. They see it in 72 hours worth of eyes each week.
Yeah.
Or every 3 days, whatever it is. It's crazy. But there's no slack left in the rope right now. They're going to have to make up their mind to make a stand right now or go with the flow. And I don't think, or maybe this is just wishful thinking, I don't think Alicia and Christina want to go with the flow anymore. I think they're going to want to try to, they're looking for not to hang on to the end of the rope.
Well, and, then again, you saw Alicia, she said flat out that if Tourism wins another immunity, she will flip. She said it flat out.
Yeah. And
so
maybe all it takes is one of them to do it. Then it pulls the others in. You know, the Pied Piper.
See, I think that the reason they didn't vote that way is because they weren't sure if Troyzan had actually found an idol, which he wouldn't have needed that idol because he won the immunity idol in the challenge. He won the immunity necklace. So he would have been able to give that idol to possibly leave for Tarzan, and then that would have caused the votes to then swing back to the women if he, in fact, gave one of them an additional idol.
But
so,
then again, they still have to fear the fact that he may have the idol in his pocket.
That's true, but last night that could have been why they voted the way they did. Thinking that he could have handed Leaf or Tarzan an idol, and if he had done that, that would have made Troy immune to any votes and Leaf or Tarzan immune to any votes. So they almost had to split the votes just in case.
Well, last night they needed two to flip over to, with Tarzan voting with Leaf and Troy. They needed two girls to flip to make it a 5-4. Well, they still need two girls to flip to make it a 4-4, but it, again, depends upon Tarzan. And I think he's smart enough maybe to realize that because he's at the bottom of the pecking order, Kim's pecking order, too.
Right.
And he
so,
got the buzz to the show last night. I mean, that's the wake-up call right there.
Yeah.
You've got three votes cast against you, and Christina should know. I mean, you should have that vibe that,
yeah,
hey, you're going to go.
We've got
yeah, well, when they get back to camp and
wants to come up and talk to us about Survivor, so let's see what he has to say.
Good.
Brandon, thank you so much for calling Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you all doing tonight?
Great.
How's things great in Oklahoma?
I live in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Hi, Brandon.
Yeah. Hi, Brenda. Good to meet you. I love your Coach Way page on Facebook.
Thank you.
It's a great page. I have an opinion on the title count last night. I think Alicia, Christina, and Tarzan were complete idiots last night, and I'm going to explain that. Because, all right, Tarzan is offering you Final Five. You have a chance to take out Kim, Kat, Sabrina, and who's the other one?
Kelsey.
And Kelsey. And then you're going to be Final Five. And if you think about it, Tarzan is giving you Final Four handed to you on a silver platter. Because once it gets down to you five, you all are still four. It's just Tarzan's one. And you can take Tarzan out, and you all have the Final Four, and you knocked out every single strong player in the game. Do you get what I'm going at?
Good thinking.
Yeah.
They could have, if they would have done what was proposed to them last night, they could have taken out the strongest players one by one.
And been Final Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I took from it, so.
Thing is, it could still happen.
It could still happen, but it's a lot harder now than having a 5-4 to have a 4-4. It's just a lot harder.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think that was their best opportunity at getting those four out, and they blew it last night.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what next week brings us, because apparently
there is
dissension among the women, and that's going to cause...
Looks like Sabrina and Kat were going to Troyzan for advice.
Was it kind of in this order where they made the audible comment, dissension among the women, and then the next scene they show Troyzan pitching his, 4-4 or his vote? I mean, they really didn't elaborate on what kind of dissension or who it was between, but you kind of got the impression when you saw that it was Sabrina and Kat, was it? In that group that Troyzan was pitching to?
Sabrina and Kat, yeah. Sabrina and Kat.
So you kind of start to wonder, okay, is there dissension, between those ones? It's like Jerry said early on in the show, it's finally, and other people have said it too, it's finally getting interesting, and it's where, I can't wait for next week to find out what happens.
Yeah.
Is it wonderful to be on the
Did anybody notice that, speaking of Kat and some of the things that happened last night, that Kat couldn't even up her bid and add $20 to $20 and make 40?
She was saying like 23.
I was just blown away.
Another Kat moment.
I can't blame it on Blonde. I mean, it's beyond that.
Yep.
It just blew me away that.
Now, Terry, you're a brunette, aren't
20
you?
And 20.
Terry, are you a brunette?
I am a brunette.
Okay, you know why they tell all the dumb blonde jokes on Friday?
Why is that?
So the brunettes have all weekend to figure them out.
Oh, I had never heard that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my word.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
But she had to love the bacon.
Forgive me.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Well, what do you all think the possibility is of Troyzan actually winning all the remaining immunities?
Well,
Troyzan winning all the remaining immunities.
I don't think
you'll win a couple, maybe, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him?
I think it'd have to be Kim or Chelsea.
A puzzle, Christina will beat him.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, Doug. It's all depends on what the competition is, and like you brought up, the possibility of a puzzle, that's a big equalizer, and Christina certainly has shown her expertise at that. So.
And strength. Chelsea probably has the best strength of the girls.
Yep.
And
the other variable is, Troyzan has them thinking that he found another immunity idol. Well, he knows that he didn't. He needs to go out and look again. How is he going to look without being seen looking again? That could blow his cover as far as them worrying about that. So there's a lot of little variables.
Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to say this on air. I extended the show quite a while ago, but it looks like we've had some people lose audio. So please refresh, and it should get your audio back.
Have you all noticed how much food they're getting this season?
Yeah.
it's outrageous.
Did anybody watch the Ponderosa clip with Jonas cooking in the kitchen?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the guy cooking for the Ponderosa, he's just standing in the background watching Jonas cook.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
I just cannot get out of my head the possibility that the
the game is going to change next week and it's going to be in Troy Zenn's favor. I just see so much of Chris Daugherty in him, the guy from Vanuatu. I don't think Troy Zenn will get anywhere near the end, though. But I do see a miniature version of Chris Daugherty working in there.
If he would have got rid of Kim last night, he would have had a better chance of getting further. Tarzan had to vote Leaf out. Made absolutely no sense. Because he knows there's the winner coming
for him. I cannot figure Tarzan out. I can't. I think he has no strategical thinking whatsoever, him. And I'm, like I said, I'm wondering about Christina. I really am. I mean, with all those indicators.
She doesn't have any game.
Yeah.
It's like they're like being dragged along, and like they don't have any game or any thoughts of their own.
Tarzan's shining moment last night when he was standing in the surf with Leaf cleaning off his face.
Yeah.
We're next.
He looked like a gentle parent.
And he said, it's either me or you.
Yep.
So.
And that's the killer. He knew it. He friggin' knew it.
He knew it, and he voted out Leaf.
I know. I don't get it.
Well,
he would have voted
3-3-3 otherwise.
He would have gone to the tiebreaker. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Anyway. Hey, guys, the dog's getting tired. He's had a long day, and I'm going to hang off and hang up.
Good talking to you.
And, Brandon, good to hear your voice again. And, Brenda, take care of my girl. And don't forget, what is it, 1 Corinthians 3? Have you read that yet?
I still haven't gotten a chance to read it.
Okay.
I'll try and get to it.
And Paul and Cherry, it's been just an absolute blessing. And I'm going to enjoy my time this weekend with Coach again. So, and tomorrow,
always a pleasure having you on the show.
Both tomorrow and Sunday,
love having you with us.
The award that he was given at the meeting today, I have it in my possession again now, and it will be presented to the symphony, both performances in front of all the patrons this weekend again.
Oh,
and then it's going to stay down there.
Hopefully
so,
you can get some pictures of that. If anybody gets photos,
okay,
maybe we can get those put up on the website.
Yeah, okay. And
all
God
right.
bless you all, and have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You take care, and God bless, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Have
Bye
a great
dog.
Weekend.
Love you.
What a great guy.
Yep.
It's been such a pleasure having him calling in and sharing all of his stories with us about Coach. I just have enjoyed
He's
him
interesting
so much.
Man.
Mm-hmm. He is amazing. I've known him now for 3 years, and it just seems like we get closer and closer, and he's become like a mentor to me in so many ways. I love the guy.
He's a great guy. He's a pleasure to talk to, and you can tell how much he adores Coach. And to talk to him, you'd never guess his age. I mean, he's certainly...
How old is he?
81.
Oh, shit.
I know. You'd never guess it.
No.
And he still applies for Survivor every year.
Yeah, I've applied for Big Brother this year, actually.
If they would let him on, he would go on Survivor in a heartbeat. He's very
good.
Fit.
He
and
knows a lot.
He's ready to go on at a moment's notice, I think. So.
Is there an age limit?
I don't know. I know they've had some, some older...
They had some older ones. Jerry from Big Brother, he was like 75.
Right. I think he was 75 when he went on Big Brother. But I don't know what the age limit might be on Survivor because they do have much more physical tasks involved on Survivor than they do on Big Brother, obviously. So...
Yeah.
I don't know what their age limit might be, but, to me, if they're in physical shape, it should be about the physical ability. Someone like him is probably in much better physical shape than I am. He gets out there and does so much, physical stuff that I don't do. He you know, climbs mountains and walks and runs and does things that I don't get out and do. So he's probably in better physical condition than I am. So
yeah.
I would say, you know, he would be a better candidate for Survivor than I might be. So I don't know if age would be something they would, you know, would be the bottom line, or if it would be
I think it all depends on their health.
Of that and the condition, you know, your physical condition as well as age. So,
hey guys, this is Dog again. I just walked into another room and found out I had a speakerphone on. Yeah, I'm 81, and I'm ready to do another application. I just have to set it up, and the weather has to get a little bit better because I'm going to do it outside, and it's going to be about a minute and 50 seconds worth of stuff. I've got a script kind of written out, and I just have to rehearse it and get it in order. But it's going to be all about first, and one of the firsts is being as old as I am.
So
how
you
many
might
seasons
know,
have you tried out for?
Is there an age limit for Survivor?
No, they just don't want to have anybody have a big heart attack and pass out, you know.
Yeah, that would be kind of ugly.
Aww.
Yeah.
But
you know, what was the Bulgaria?
There's people that's actually fallen out on Survivor, though. There's been a few people that's actually went down on Survivor.
Yeah.
Now, where they are filming as we speak right now, down in the Camotes Islands, Camarines Sur in the Philippines, I think it was Bulgaria was doing an episode down there, and during a challenge, one of their competitors had a heart attack and died right there on the spot.
Oh my goodness.
God. And then, of course...
Yeah, I
remember
that.
Yeah. Then in Tocantins...
Wants to speak to you, I think, on air, so I'm going to bring up another caller. Mr. Matt, thank you so much for calling in to Dragon Slayer Radio.
So late and everything. There's just such good conversation and everything. There was a question, you know, people coming earlier, why did Tarzan blow that leaf? If you go back to the very beginning of the season and remember when Leaf was running his mouth and then Tarzan got so paranoid and crazy and went nuts over it, I think in his warped mind, I think he figured, well, you know, this guy ran his mouth before and whatever, is he trustworthy? And it's, if it's between me and him... I'm voting him out because I can't trust him. I'm just trying to.
I think I know what you're talking about.
He has. So that's
right.
The only thing I can think of as a reason why. You know, self-preservation one and two, the fact that Leaf was running his mouth at the beginning of the game, and basically that whole crazy. We'll swap positions with the women, and we'll go to tribal council and deal with this. So, who knows? But that's just a theory I have.
That could very well be.
I think he's talking about the time that he told Bill that he was going home. Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, it started, Brandon, it did. It did start back then. But, you know, I'm wondering if Tarzan is not getting any of these confessionals because he doesn't want to talk. I mean, he really... is keeping it tight-lipped. He's not, showing us anything. He didn't want to read the letter. You know,
I think.
And when Jeff asks him questions at Tribal Council, all he says is the game is afoot. I mean, he really doesn't answer with any comment that makes real sense. So if they've taken him off to do, you know, any kind of commentary, he may have just sat there and given him, you know, just crazy comments. And so they're finally just like, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. It's just a waste of our time in film. And
I agree.
Right, yeah, same old thing over and over again. The fans get tired of it.
Right, so.
I still can't stop but think how different this game would be if Colton was still there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I miss him.
I know.
People hate him.
I wanted him out so badly early on, but after he left, I rethought that opinion because he really was good TV. Hey, guys, we are really running short on time. We're hitting up against our maximum allowed time. And I just want to allow Cherry to say goodbye to everybody and thank everybody, and so she has some time to close everything out.
Yes, we do have
to. I appreciate you taking my call this evening.
Well,
thanks,
thank
Mr. Mack.
Everyone, for calling in tonight to Dragon Slayer Radio. We've had a wonderful night. It was so nice to talk to Coach and his coach, Valzone, and have Brenda call in tonight. And Brandon, it was nice for you to call in. And Dog, as always, it's wonderful to have you call in and share your stories of Coach with us. We adore you.
I'll probably have some more next week.
Oh, thank you.
Right.
Well, we'd love to have you call back in.
Yeah, God bless you. Bye.
See y'all later.
Thank you so much to everyone for calling in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. And we hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Cherry, and thank you, Paul.
You're welcome, Brenda.
Love your list, Brenda.
Love you guys. Nice talking to you. Bye.
Game of the foot. I also want to... I also want to say a special hi to somebody we haven't seen in a long time, Lisa K-Mass.
Great to have Lisa K-Mass in the chat room with us again. I was shocked when I saw her come in. I do want to have a moment to say keep Phil 53 in your prayers. He's recovering from his surgeries, and we hope that he'll be back in our chat room with us as well soon. He does get to come out and listen to the shows when he can, but he's still recovering from major surgery, so we want to keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. There's been some really ugly things happen in our nation as well. There was a major shooting up in New Hampshire where many officers were involved. A police chief was perished in that shooting. Just keep those officers and their families in your prayers. I don't know, most of you have probably heard as well about the woman in Texas who was gunned down and her 3-day-old baby son was taken. They have retrieved the baby alive, but the mom was gunned down and died. It's just a horrible story, and I hear those things, and it just breaks my heart. So just keep those families in your prayers. And our Rad Reality family, want to keep our Rad Reality family in your prayers. We are so thankful to have this Rad Reality family continuing and back with us 3 times a week. We want to remember Ron, who started our Rad Reality family, and thank him for doing this for us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Be with us on Sunday night for Louis Stravato and his Amazing Race recap. And he is going to have some guests come on, and I don't have them right in front of me right now, but we are going to have guests on Sunday night. Let me pull that up real quick. We're going to have Mallory and Gary Irvin on Sunday night. And that will be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And then on Monday, Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. Michelle Costa will not be there on Monday, this Monday, but Paul and I are hoping to bring you a special surprise guest. So That show is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So hopefully Paul and I will have a surprise for every one of you. Thank you again for joining us. Paul, what do you have?
I have a couple of shows that are coming up. You brought up this Love for Sale show that's coming up. I don't know when Jen DiTerno is going to be on, but the next episode is Michelle Noonan. Coming up on Tuesday night. Also, we did have. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. We also had Louis brought on some girls that are from reality shows, including Eliza Orleans and Jody Winchesky and a couple others that are not coming to mind right now, but they're doing that epic 24-hour race starting this Saturday morning, and they said they have been cleared to tweet about it, so follow your Twitter for anything from them. And then May 1st will be the Best Ink episode with Lydia from Big Brother on May 1st. And I'm hearing a lot of static. I don't know whose it is, but that's all I've got, Sherry.
Okay, well, so much reality, so little time. There's lots of shows going on out there right now, and we hope that you can catch them all. We've got some of our favorite reality people appearing in many of these shows, so watch them and call into our show and let us know what you thought. We hope to see you all back with us very soon. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. We love you much. Here's Ron to close out our show.
So thank you guys for stopping in. I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show, but I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. And but you know, I want to say thank you to you guys and the reality people that you know. I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm gonna go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone. I'm going to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. And just like Ron, Paul and I appreciate you guys so very much, too.
Absolutely.
You guys take care. Lola, we miss him, too. I, like Paul just said, I wish he was here doing this show. So, everybody take care, be kind to each other, and we hope to talk to you real soon. Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.